This is our fourth public hearing, so we're getting. Board of Regents does value transparency and accountability. We know that Iowans expect a great deal from their universities and special schools. We know that we are stewards of the public money and the hard-earned tuition dollars of students and their families. And we know we need to be open and accessible. And quite obviously, our hearing and vision-impaired students deserve the highest standards of accountability. Just quickly to let you know who makes up the Transparency Task Force, we have Nicole Carroll, a regent, Jack Lazier from the Iowa Hall of Pride, Miles Lackey represents Iowa State, Mark Braun represents the University of Iowa, Dr. John Johnson is representing the University of Northern Iowa. We have Senator Danielson from the Waterloo-Cedar Falls area. We have Representative Peter County from West Des Moines. Kathleen Richardson of the Governor's Iowa Public Information Board is a member. Just to give you a little background, in February, the Board of Regents approved the formation of this task force. And we held our first meeting on Friday, April 5th. At that April meeting, we laid the foundation for our work. First, we reviewed current law in Iowa relating to open meetings and open records. Then Bill Monroe, the chair of the Iowa Public Information Board, shared with us that board's goals and priorities. Next, each university's, the special schools, and the Board of Regents office described two things: how their organization responds to public information and open records requests, and two, the types of information available and how they make that information currently available. The final topic at the April 5th meeting was to discuss public hearing dates. And as I said earlier, tonight is the fourth of the public hearings. On April 18th, the Johnston public hearing involved 8 ICN sites. On April 30th, the Iowa City public hearing involved 8 ICN sites. On May 2nd, the Council Bluffs public hearing involved 11 ICN sites. And tonight we have 12 sites available for public comment. We are here tonight to listen to your ideas and to receive your feedback on how the board, the universities, and the two special schools can improve and be more transparent. We do ask that you refrain from making personal comments about individuals. I have a very short list of speakers who signed up prior to the start of this evening. I will go through this list and recognize each speaker. Please, when it's your turn, be sure to hold down the button as I'm trying to carefully do tonight, and we'll recognize you. And after we have all gone through the list of people who have signed up in advance, of course, anyone is welcome to be recognized and say what you'd like to say. Our speaking time is limited to 3 minutes per person, and we'll let you know when your time is up. At 7:30 sharp, all of these screens go dark. That's the ICN system shutting down. We have no control over that. But we will definitely be here until 7:30. If everyone finishes speaking before then, I will stay here and keep the lines open until 7:30 because we realize people have busy lives. They may have to work. They may have to get family organized before they can come to this hearing. If for some reason you don't get an opportunity to comment tonight, or when you leave you think of something else, please send your comments in writing to the Regents Transparency Task Force website, and it is available on the Regents website and at the various times I will put up that list so that you can know the email. Of course, obviously, you can write us or call us. That said, we're going to go ahead and get started. And the first person I would like to recognize is Sarah Eastman at the UNI site. And it should be the minute I touch this button that you're on. Do you see it? Okay, there.
Can everyone hear me?
Yes, we hear you.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, we hear you.
My name is Sarah.
Getting the button.
And I am speaking today on behalf of the Unify for Education Alliance. We are a group of concerned citizens that have come together to advocate for education throughout the state of Iowa. And I'm speaking today to encourage the task force to expand the scope of their mission beyond just the institutions governed by the board, but to the board's office and indeed the board itself. The Board of Regents certainly does what is necessary to comply with open meeting laws for the state, but they do not seem to go above and beyond to foster an open dialogue or a relationship with their constituents, the citizens of Iowa. In fact, I would go so far as to say that in some cases, board policy inhibits and discourages citizens from becoming involved. Take, for instance, a person who may wish to speak to a particular item on the board's agenda. That agenda is oftentimes not published until sometimes a week or less before the meeting, yet the board's policy states that anyone wishing to address the board must submit a request in writing no less than 7 days before the meeting to be considered. That means if you notice an item on the agenda you would like to speak about, it is often too late to make that request. The process to address the board is cumbersome at best. I myself have gone through this process and was eventually allowed to speak to the board, but it was a process that took us nearly 5 months. We made our initial request on May 25th, asking to be placed on the agenda for the June 6th meeting, a meeting that was more than the required 7 days away. And we're told that the agenda had already been completed for that meeting and our request would not be granted. We immediately submitted a request to be added to the agenda for the August meeting. After several requests for additional information from us, including asking for information on our individual members and to see our articles of incorporation, we were asked to meet with Executive Director Bob Donnelly. Kristen Torres and I traveled to Des Moines on July 19th to meet with Mr. Donnelly at the board's offices. After speaking for about an hour, we were told we'd be allowed to address the board at one of their future meetings. We immediately submitted a written request to be added to the agenda for August. Again, this was well before the 7-day limit. And we're told the August agenda was already set and we would not be allowed to address the board until the September meeting. We ended up allowed 5 minutes during the September 12th meeting of the board. 5 months' work for 5 minutes. Now imagine you are a concerned citizen who has noticed an item on the board's agenda that you strongly feel you'd like to speak about. This process makes that all but impossible. An online comment submission is not sufficient. There are still many Iowans who do not have ready access to a computer, and concerns have been raised over how many of those comments are actually seen by the members of the board. We think these concerns warrant the consideration of instituting a public comment period at each meeting. A public comment period, along with requiring 2 public readings of any major changes or expenditures, would allow time and opportunity for more meaningful interaction between the board and their constituents. It would also go a long way toward alleviating the current feeling by many in the public that the board makes most, if not all, of their decisions behind closed doors than merely rubber stamps them at the public meetings. 30 minutes at the beginning of each meeting for public comment is a very small price to pay to regain the confidence and trust that many Iowans have lost in their Board of Regents. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, and the next name I have is Joe Gorton. Would you go ahead, Joe?
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yes, I can. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Patrice. My comments this evening are only going to be a bit of a follow-up to what I made at the last meeting that I attended. And in the first part, I just want to mention that on April the 13th at the AAUP meeting, where I had an opportunity to visit with President Lang, I discussed a public comment period with him, and his idea was that perhaps the board could have separate meetings just for the public to attend. And, you know, the problems with this idea are just too numerous to go into here, but let me just point out that none of the boards in the 15 states that I listed during the last meeting that I attended believe that their meetings are too busy for democracy, so that at all 15 of those states, regents or trustees meetings include, just as Sarah mentioned, that 30 minute or so period for people to make public comments at a regular board meeting. Now, again, following up on Sarah's point, the United Faculty, who I represent, believe that the board should make its committee meetings open to the public. I mean, there are a lot of committees, such as finance or budgeting or human resources or other committees that are have real implications for university and regent policy. So we think those meetings should be open to the public. At the April 13th meeting, Mr. Rastetter and Mr. Lang stated with great pride that of 201 votes taken by the board since they have been members, 200 have been unanimous. Now, it doesn't take a political scientist to understand what this pattern means. And just as Sarah said, the decisions are being made behind closed doors and then discussed or voted on in public in an environment where the public has no real opportunity to comment. Third, it's not too late to add a faculty member to this transparency task force. Now, The gentleman sitting next to me, John Johnson, is a friend of mine. We have at least three things in common, Bob Dylan, Bruce Springsteen, and golf. So I have enormous affection for John, but I really believe, and I think, and I know that the faculty believe, it's important to have someone on this committee who has a faculty perspective, that's, you know, teaching three or four classes a semester, who's dealing with directly the budget constraints that are coming out of board policy and so on. So it's really impossible for me to overstate the value that you'll find in adding a faculty perspective to your deliberations. Finally, I just want to say on behalf of the UNI chapter, the American Association of University Professors, that all of us appreciate the efforts that you're making here. We thank you for your service to this cause and wish you luck, and we'll be at your service in any way possible in the future. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else in the Cedar Falls site that would like to speak before we start cycling through?
This is John Johnson, and as my good friend Joe Gordon said, it is important to have a faculty perspective, and I just to make the record clear, I am a representative from UNI on the task force, and I am a faculty member at UNI. I teach a full load of classes. I grade papers all the time, and while I have been an administrator in the past, I am no longer an administrator. I'm a faculty member and a proud member of the task force.
Thank you. Is there anyone else at the Cedar Falls site?
I don't believe so, no.
Okay. We'll start cycling through and see what we find at the other sites. I'm going to hit Anamosa. And I don't see anyone in Anamosa unless the camera isn't focused on you. If you would move to the left or the right. No, I don't think anybody in Anamosa. Let's check Cedar Rapids. Aha. Sir, would you like to make comments to the group tonight? You'll have to push your microphone. Are you sitting at a microphone? I can't hear you.
Oh, we can't hear him.
I don't see any microphones. You might go up to the front.
Is there a microphone at the front?
Is there a microphone at the front podium? Oh, I have no idea.
That's really strange.
Is there anybody we can call for Cedar Rapids ICN?
Let me try to call.
We'll try to call someone with ICN. You're not hearing me either?
He hears us.
We'll call ICN and see if we can get anybody there to apparently provide microphones, because I don't see any on the table. Very odd. We'll come back, and I'm sorry.
For technical assistance,
we have a number here we're going to dial for technical assistance. I'm going to move on to Charles City. Is anyone in Charles City? No. Let's try Clinton. And I don't think, is anyone in, no, that's me I'm seeing. No one's in Clinton. It's dark. Oh, I'm sorry, now I'm at, oh. Now I'm Decora. That's dark. Elkader is dark. Manchester, is there anyone at Manchester? Vinton, I don't see anybody in Vinton. I'm going to cycle through once more.
Okay.
No one in Anamosa.
Okay. Thank you. Tell the gentleman in Cedar Rapids, Kennedy, that the ICN is going to call that room.
Okay.
And help him try to locate and hook up a microphone.
Cedar Rapids, sir. ICN is going to call this your room that you're in. Can you hear me?
Yeah,
They're going to call you, pick up the phone when it rings, and they'll try to talk you through connecting.
There it goes.
Ah, or maybe you just figured it out.
I bet there's somebody. It seems like he's talking to someone. There may be someone else in the room with him.
We'll cycle back to Cedar Rapids, and hopefully ICN gets this straightened out for us. Thank you. Ah, we hear you.
I'm talking on this microphone. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. We don't see you now.
I got it. Okay.
Oh, that's perfect.
All right. Here I am.
Okay, if you would identify yourself and go ahead and please add your remarks.
My name is Robin Cash. I live at 1806 Grand Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. And I have several comments. I don't have any I can squeeze in 3 minutes, but I'll do my best. First of all, sir,
I'm sorry, if you would hold the microphone a little closer.
Well, I'm having trouble even getting the microphone. It's
That's perfect now. That's good.
This is a mess. All right. Okay. First of all, I understand that higher education has had its funding reduced over the last 10 years significantly, and I think that's a trend that needs to be reversed. We're a small state, and we depend heavily on educated people to make our workforce so that we can, not to mention just have people who can think. Then the other thing that I'm concerned about is what happened at UNI with the closing of that school. I went to school in Davenport when I was a boy and moved back to Iowa as an adult, and have studied Iowa's education a little bit and understand that UNI was a major source of teachers over the years, and I hate to see that undercut just because they don't attract a lot of out-of-state students to supplement their budget doesn't seem to me a good reason to cut that. The other thing I'm concerned about is what I understood to be an instance of interference in academic freedom, and a statement that was published in the Cedar Rapids Gazette to the effect that that there should be just one voice on agricultural issues in the state. And my understanding of research is that it's not a predetermined kind of thing, but that you investigate and you find out what you find out and you report it. So that kind of heavy-handedness, it seems to me, is inappropriate. And then one of the regents is reported to have had some real estate interests in a foreign country that were tied in with his relationship to Iowa State, and that concerns me, too, that it appears that there's a misuse of a position of, I consider it a position of privilege and responsibility to be a regent. And to abuse that privilege and to abuse the responsibility seems not a good thing. So my main message here is that I believe that funding for the university system ought to be increased, and that we ought to reverse the trend that's gone on here for all these years of underfunding the university. My goodness, if we can spend $1 billion on getting a fertilizer company into Iowa, seems to me we can do better than we're doing on funding higher education. So I could go on. I have other things, and I appreciate your listening to me for the 3 minutes or whatever it was that I had. By the way, when you switch to other people, I cannot hear what those other people are saying. So that really does hinder participation, and I don't know whether people at other sites can hear what I'm saying or not, but that's a great disadvantage. So I don't know what can be done about that. Seems to me it's a technical issue, and you all ought to be able to handle that. But you come on and you recognize a speaker, and then you switch to that speaker, and nothing. I don't hear anything else on this on this system. So that's kind of where I am right now. If you come back to Cedar Rapids again, I'm the only one here, so I'll take I'll take the turn of whoever didn't show up.
Well, thank you, sir, and I'm sorry. We do not run the ICN. We are guests in the ICN sites, and so I'm afraid we're technologically disadvantaged too, but I'm really sorry you're not hearing the other comments.
Okay. Well, you just need to tell them to get it straightened out.
Okay, I will. Thank you. We have people here in the Dubuque office. Do you either of you
I'm
like
from
to?
The newspaper, so
okay. Would you like to speak, ma'am?
No, I really don't.
All right, I'm going to cycle back through. If there are new people who have managed to come, we will take their comments. And again, we will stay at this site and stay open until 7:30. Anybody new want to speak in Cedar Falls?
Nope, no one new here.
Okay, thank you. Is anyone at Charles City? Is anyone at Clinton High School? High School? Yeah. Decorah is dark. Elkader is dark. Is anyone in Manchester? And Olwine is dark. And Vinton is dark. Again, we will stay here. We will cycle through every so often. We will be here till 7:30. I'm going to put up a document. I'll put up the document with our mailing address and email so that anybody can write that down if they don't already have it.